This morning, Sandra Snead wrote a joyful status. This miss is a soon-to-be Mrs. Over 300 friends liked her engagement post, and it got 76 comments. Sandra, you're one popular gal. Geico also has a comment on your status. Did you know you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance in just 15 minutes by switching to Geico? Just a way we're trying to help cushion a nice little nest egg for the future misses. Hashtag getting hitched. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Put your name on it. Just put your name on it. That's all I say. Be a man or a woman. Put your name on it.
Well, I'd like to hear about it, potheads.
How the fuck you gonna know how to be great if you don't study greatness? Look at the game tape.
Donuts.
If you wanna battle, it's either that you will or you won't.
You know, you're not a bad looking man, Mr. Gals.
But you are, Blanche. You are in that chair.
There's something wrong with us. Something very, very wrong with us.
Hey, man.
More Stories Podcast. Nick DiPaolo. I have no voice for some reason. I think it's from screaming from the rooftops that Nick DiPaolo is going to be on More Stories. My old buddy. What's up, man?
How are you?
You're looking at me so strangely because of my crazy voice.
This is, I know, you sent me that text and I'm like, he just doesn't want to do the show and I can't blame him.
No, why?
Oh, well, I'm like, how did he lose his voice? What are you doing, opera during the day in L.A. now?
I do radio and stand-up and podcasting, so my only way of making...
You stand-up during the day, you do?
I do.
What do you do, at Gelson's?
Noon shows at Gelson's, the bakery aisle. Take a number. And Jay Moore, what's your name? Where are you from? And I just do impressions to the old people.
I just went in there. It's quite a market.
It is a nice market.
I wanted to Gelson's. Use the bathroom. There's somebody in there, so I was banging on the door, making them all uncomfortable, and then I ran out.
By the way, Nick DiPaolo just used my bathroom to pee. I said, do you have to pee? Most guests decline, and I have a very small bladder. I always have to pee.
I have a big prostate.
You have a big prostate?
Yeah.
I just saw a prostate commercial. They said normal, and they showed like a little walnut.
Yeah.
And then as you get older, and then it became a lemon.
Yeah, well, mine's like a white basketball.
Yeah, but
pushing against my kidneys and my throat, it's open.
So I could, in theory, stick my fingers down your throat. And give you a prostate
you
massage.
Could. You could
and
tell
make
me.
You ejaculate.
I know my doctor does that. And I go, how do you tell if it's, what are you looking for? And he goes, well, it should feel, you know, it's like pushing on a steak to see if it's done.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, Dr. Mario Batali. I know that's what he said.
I like Mario Batali because he's committed to the Crocs.
Why, are you a Croc fan?
No, it's just, I mean, he doesn't really, truly doesn't give a shit. Like, he's wearing Crocs in the kitchen. He's comfortable. He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Millionaire. Giada De Laurentiis lives in a neighborhood.
She lives in a neighborhood?
Yeah, I'll take you to her house afterwards.
Can we go break in?
Yeah.
She just got divorced. That means she's horny right now.
I'll set Nick DiPaolo up with Giada. And here's the thing with her and her Italian. Next we're going to make a spaghetti bolognese.
What are you doing? That's so funny you brought that up, and I'll tell
spaghetti.
You why.
Spaghetti. Like, no,
she,
spaghetti.
Spaghetti, she
spaghetti.
Says.
You grew up in Connecticut. Stop it.
That was I had a whole bit on that, okay? A Food Network chunk, because I like the Food Network a lot. And then I let Louis watch, especially he told me to take it out, and I did.
Why do you listen to Louis? What does he know?
Exactly. What does he know? As he builds a moat around his house.
Aside from being the greatest living comic.
My old roommate.
I went to Louis' apartment. Let's
talk about Giada some more.
Giada?
Do you see her pushing her kid around?
I saw her at the nail salon once, pre-kid.
Yeah.
My wife and I saw her at the nail salon.
Yeah.
In the Palisades. And she was just sitting there. Give her the nod. But I didn't get a nod back.
Seems kind of...
That's a weird show business to be in. Food Network, any like those painting guys, like a little bit of blue, because you're the Vietnam vet with the Jufro.
Yeah, with Bob Ross. He's
right
dead now.
Right by here is a few Viet Cong, the fighting men in pajamas, but we'll get them. It's okay.
Joey Cola, was it? He had a tremendous bit on that.
I love Joey. He works at Martha Stewart now.
He's like, it's because it's your world. You can make this tree right here. And he goes, oh, Charlie in the Bush. Because he was a Vietnam vet. Bar.
Oh, he really was?
Yes. Charlie in Joey. The fucking Bush.
Charlie in the Bush. The Food Network with Giada. And yeah. My favorite is the Barefoot Contessa.
I like her too. I had a bit on her too.
I got a big bit about her.
She reminds me of Kathy Bates in Misery.
That's very good.
Because she whispers and she blinks her eyes when she talks. Today I'm making Jeffrey a lemon meringue pie to celebrate his book signing. Meanwhile, you can hear Emma Lagasse screaming from her basement. He's been tied up there for like 6 months. There's more to the bit I can't remember because Louis told me to take it out. I had a whole chunk on Barefoot Contessa.
You know, I think you should have kept it in because it's a huge female demographic. They love that stuff.
I know that.
People, I say about the Barefoot Contessa, yeah, out of all the people that have their own show on TV, nobody's more uncomfortable on camera. She's the most unlikely star of her own show. She looks like there's a dominator, like a man, like she was a gimp. They let her out of the box. And they're like, go make Jeffrey's pear chicken. But if you fuck it up, ball gag right back in the box. Because the whole time she's looking at the camera like, don't tell Jeffrey. And then she gives you a look like, seriously, don't tell Jeffrey. Because I'm going to be in big trouble. How bad? She has three. How bad could that be? And all her friends are gay.
I was going to say, four gay guys
come over.
Definitely figure pop by her uncle in high school or something.
You think so?
Absolutely. She doesn't have a heterosexual male friend.
TR's coming over with the flowers later.
How good is that guy?
Don't have too much fun without me. Yo, TR's the hottest guy in Long Island.
Unbelievable. He's in a lot of commercials now.
I can't believe Nick DiPaolo and I are just talking about the Food Network.
I love the Food Network.
I got to go back to your pee that you just took in my house.
But how about Giada?
Powerful pee. I could hear it through the door.
No, my prostate is like Hyman Roth's. I'd give six men to take a piss without it hurting.
He's business, Michael. Here's the thing about your piss. I heard you piss through the door. I'm not joking. Powerful. I have
it's
very
numb.
Weak.
I
heard it. What were you emptying a bag?
I was faking it. I was.
So
drunk.
Here's what happened though. I said, you know what? I'm going to take a leak because I got this thing in my throat. I've been drinking tea all day. Your piss smells exactly like chicken soup. My entire bathroom smells like chicken soup.
Well, it should.
No, that's weird. You should say you're your doctor next time he's fingering your ass and touching the steak to see if it's done properly. Say, you know, my friend Jay Moore told me my pee smells like chicken soup.
He goes, you know, you have a dumpling in your ass.
Remember Patrice?
Chickens, I'm dehydrated. That's what you're smelling. I haven't had anything to eat all day. I drank.
No? Nothing?
No.
Patrice's bit when he found out he was diabetic. Remember that?
What did he say?
Him and his girlfriend were taking turns peeing on each other. And his girlfriend goes, baby, your pee tastes like birthday cake.
That's right.
That's how he fucking found out he had diabetes. Your pee tastes like birthday cake.
I was doing a thing. I had a little show myself on VH1 that never saw the light of day, but I had Patrice on. He had just come from the doctor. He was late, of course, to the VH1 show. And I go, how'd it go? He had a physical. I go, how'd it go to the doc? He goes, man, I get 8 of the 10 things that kill niggas. I go, is one of them a handgun? And then he started, he was laughing. And then I said, I go, Patrice, how do you know? I go, how does black people know when they have diabetes? How do you know when your feet start rotting?
Jesus Christ.
He thought that was the funniest thing you'd ever heard.
Well, because it is funny. And that's what I like about the guys. Like you and I came up essentially at the same time, at the same place, Boston Comedy Club, Comedy Cellar. And it was me, you, Patrice, it was Jimmy. And, you know, like Louis was always there and all Colin and all we did. Keith Robinson he's the only one that didn't make it. Keith Robinson.
Well, he's in you know whose movie, Amy Schumer's doing better than I am.
I thought that
she's gonna hold that whole she's gonna
no,
hold
a
the phone
while,
up.
We put it up on the YouTube channel. That More is, Stories 37.
It's hilarious.
You can see Nick DiPaolo drop truth. New album, Another Senseless Killing.
Go to nickdip.com. Right, it's on sale right now. Nickdip.com. I shot it at Acme Comedy Club, real intimate setting.
A lot of people do their albums there.
It's it rocks. It's dirtier than I like to work. I got to be honest with you. I got caught up in the moment, but yeah, nickdip.com. It's $8, and then it'll be available
eight
everywhere.
$8. Louis C.K. established
minimum $8.
It's $5. Louis C.K. made the price.
Well, it was pre-order $5. Mine was pre-order $5 till January 2nd. It's $8, but here's the thing: some guy paid $101 for it the other day.
And that man's name?
Mr. DePaul, Nicholas Sr. No, it was somebody...
Too easy.
No, I don't know who it was. I know, I went with it anyways.
Another Senseless Killing. And this is what I like about guys like you. And I feel like anytime there's like racial tension in the country, which is always, and it's on CNN.
Oh, yeah.
I wish Patrice was alive and you and Patrice could sit on either side
yes.
of the race baiters, white and black.
Would be better off as a country. Because that's the way to solve it, through humor.
Remember Patrice was on, and he said to the lady, like, well, why is it what I said offensive? Like, you're not a comedy expert. Like, you're just a lady that writes.
Like, who'd he say that to?
He was on a show. You can look it up. Look up anything Patrice O'Neill, because it's always
It was a lady? Phil Donahue.
It was Phil Donahue. And it was his joke. She was offended by Patrice's joke about do it pirate style. It's where you kick your girlfriend in the leg, and she picks her leg up, and then you come in her eye.
Oh, Jesus, I'm offended by that.
So she needs an eye patch, and she looks like she's standing on one leg. And the lady, like, tried to say it clean on TV, and he goes, yeah, but that's funny. And she goes, it's not funny. He goes, well, why would you know? You're just some lady.
Well, who do you say this to?
The lady that I don't know her name.
Hillary Clinton?
It was Hillary Clinton. It was Giada De Laurentiis.
But there's the thing. See, Patrice can get away with it easier than you and I can as white guys.
But you get away with it a lot more than any kind. Louis gets away with anything.
Well, you get to a certain level of fame, and Louis writes, people know how he, I mean, you know that episode he won an Emmy for? It was about the fat girl, which was unbelievably well written. But if you're a guy and you can write a fat chick and get an Emmy for it, then you can get away with anything.
And your stand-up, like, I just think you're truthful.
I'm very truthful, and unfortunately, people that run this business don't always like that.
They think you're a racist.
Some of them might, but right. I don't give a shit anymore. I'm so tired of it.
Like, I'm selling CDs on my website for $8. I don't need
I
show
I don't
business.
Give a fuck. Well, that's true, because
You were selling shows with Dennis Leary. Leary and his partner, his guy that he works with, Jim Serpico. You guys were out there pitching a show?
Yes.
How did that go?
Every meeting we took with all the four networks, the first question, and most of the people in the meetings, there's always like six or seven people in the meeting.
For a sitcom?
Yeah. Okay. And six or seven people in a meeting, always at least five of them were a woman, and the other guys were usually gay. But every meeting, the first question was, so what is the wife's role in the show? I got so tired of it at the last meeting, which was with NBC. They go, so what's your wife's role in the show? I go, well, in the pilot, I see her as pregnant, and I push her down the cellar stairs. You know, obviously joking. And like, even Dennis and Jim just looked at me wide-eyed. They didn't even laugh. I was hoping they'd jump in.
You would think Dennis would laugh to, like, save it, like, oh, is it Nick a card?
Yes.
Nick's a card.
Yeah.
Nick, you're a ham.
So everybody just sat there in silence, and I go, you know, I'm kidding. Then everybody nervously chuckled. And then the next day Serpico told me he sent a dozen roses to the lady at NBC.
The NBC lady had to get roses because you offended her by pushing your make-believe. We haven't even written this human being.
Thank you.
Somebody I have not typed yet.
Thank you.
Out of the ether, I pushed down a flight of stairs that doesn't exist with a baby that I did not impregnate this woman with because she's a make-believe person. You could have said, then I stabbed Santa Claus 15 times, but Santa Claus would be more real because at least there's photos of him that we know and we can go from.
This is all true.
Right.
Don't you feel that, though, since the 80s, mid-80s, it's a woman worship syndrome coming out of Hollywood? Whether she's the hot one in the sitcom, the husband's always a fat, dumb fuck, or whether it's movies. I can't watch another movie with Angelina Jolie kicks the shit out of three guys with karate move. I can't suspend my disbelief. I can't get to that point. I can't watch movies anymore. Even that Gone Girl, that new movie.
It's a good movie.
It is, but it was such.
The book
was such,
better.
There was
Shut
such
up.
Hatred towards men and all the writing. Whoever this chick was,
Gillian Flynn was the writer.
Yeah, and she's great.
I mean, it was hatred towards men.
You didn't really when she's going.
You didn't read the book.
I don't have to fucking read the book.
No,
I'm talking
I'm
about the movie.
Fincher directed it. He may have tilted it that way. In the book, you were continually going back and forth of whose side you were on.
Okay,
there was times you were like, "Wow, this poor guy."
But lines like, well, my last boyfriend, his idea of a fantasy was to watch a reality TV marathon with his hands down his pants. If you ever said that about a woman, painted women with a broad brush like that, I mean, seriously, if we're going to get to equality, I want some fucking equality. I want to be able to say that shit without getting in trouble.
Well,
she was great. She's a great writer. I love
it. I agree with what you're saying. Yeah. My argument to agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go a different route. It's a terrible line. it's not like if you said that about a woman, you'd be in trouble. Like, no.
You couldn't even say it. Wouldn't get green lit.
His idea of a fantasy is watching a reality TV. Like, no guy's like, you know what I'm doing tonight? I took a Viagra in the car on the way home. I got the house to myself. I'm going to fucking jerk off all over myself by watching 16 hours of The Bachelor with my hand down my sweatpants. Like, that's just, it's like, no, that's no man's idea of a fantasy. Even though that you're even joking, I think it's a lazy line, which is more towards what you're saying about the female worship. Every sitcom, the husband is like, it's Jackie Gleason, like he's an idiot.
Or and commercial.
End of the show, he's got to apologize. My wife pointed out.
It's mean-spirited at this point. Is my
cat food commercials.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
always like real sensual.
Yeah.
Like the ladies on the couch with the cat.
Yeah.
And they show them bringing like fresh salmon. Like they make you hungry.
Yeah.
Like steak and like wheat.
Yeah.
Whereas Norm would say, hey, bring in a wheat for the cat, you know? And then a dog food commercial, you're supposed to think like the guy and his dog like actually drink beers together at the pub.
Well, yeah.
Like they're on the ground hanging out. It's like, hey, right, buddy?
I'll give you a million. There's a million. I really should do a documentary. I could really.
You get rich and famous, like Boss.
They
and
won't. But who's going to do it? No, nobody. Well, it'd be an independent film, but in order to do it, I'd have to use clips from commercials and sitcoms, which I don't own. So they'd never let me have them to shit on what they do for a living.
You could just write it.
I might.
You could sit down and write it.
That's a good point.
As a series of essays, and just write a little bit each day. But you're the guy that turned me on to. I heard you on Opie and Anthony talking about this like 6 years ago, and you brought up the book Slouching Towards Gomorrah.
Yeah.
And I went out and bought that book because you were like,
it's going, what flipped me.
You were going crazy. Guys, like every commercial, every TV show, guys are fucking idiots.
And I was saying it way before that. My first CD, Born This.
Let's get it out in the open. Nick DiPaolo hates women.
Well, I don't hate women. Get the fuck. That's just the point. See, that's just the point.
That's the joke.
And if you did. Okay, you're
Jesus
joking?
Jesus Christ. I'm not that good of an actor.
You are. You're very good.
Really?
I saw you in Burt Wonderstone or whatever the fuck.
Oh, my God. Eric Griffin was here last week. And he goes, you know it's a good movie? Did you see the movie Burt Wonderstone? I go, yeah, I was in it. And he goes, no, seriously. I go, yeah.
But you can't say that. Some left-wing douche on some blow will take that out of context. And I don't. I love women. I wouldn't. It's just,
why,
it's infuriating to me.
Why does either side get listened to? Because why?
When you say either side, you're saying like a balanced argument. It's not.
No, it's not a balanced argument. It's extreme right. It's extreme left.
No, it's extreme left. We're talking about Hollywood and movies and commercials. It's extreme left.
Okay,
political correctness, Jay, comes from the left.
I understand that.
And that's where censorship is.
But the other side of the coin, the other argument is extreme right. There seems to be.
What is extreme right? The Tea Party? 60-year-old white people who pick up after themselves after they have a protest? That's extreme right. As opposed to the fucking jerk offs trying to beat up cops on the Brooklyn Bridge? That's extreme left. See the difference?
Nick DiPaolo's new album is called Brooklyn Bridge.
It's called Another Senseless.
By the way, great title.
And it had nothing to do with it, with all the stuff that's going on in New York. Another Senseless Killing.
Kill every time you're on stage. I put my name on that, Nick DiPaolo. You're one of my favorite comedians of all time. And we're going to play a clip of Nick's album in a little bit later. Which clip are we playing?
Where's she going, the producer?
Probably to close the gate, maybe, so dogs don't get out. It's a tough neighborhood around here.
Yes, real hard scramble. You actually have a white picket fence in front of your house.
Yeah, you can hear the ocean.
You go what?
If you hold the fence up to your ear, you can hear the ocean. You know why? Because it's fucking down the street.
I know.
I like people go like, yeah, I got a shelter in my ear. I can hear the ocean. I'm like, you're on the fucking beach, dummy. It's right next to you.
Oh, yeah.
I have one of my favorite Nick DiPaolo stories ever that I've never said on the podcast. I don't think I've ever told it on the podcast. People don't realize, like, every time, back in the day, there used to be, like, these auditions, cattle call. There'd be 10 comics a night for 3 separate nights. Mm-hmm. And it was either, like, NBC's looking at guys.
That's right.
They're going to launch you. Yeah. HBO. This particular night, it was HBO, and you had a spot. And I was at the Laugh Factory, and then I drove down to Melrose because you were there and a couple other guys I like were there, and I was with a buddy of mine. And it's HBO, and it was like Chris. Fuck, what's the guy from HBO's name? We both forget. Chris.
Rock.
Who owns HBO?
Albrecht?
Chris Albrecht, yeah. It was him. It was like the new regime was in. We're looking for comics. We're going to launch guys. So you were scheduled to go on like 5th.
I don't even remember this, but I'm glad
you're about to.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm getting nervous.
No, no, no. You have nothing to be nervous about because it's one of the funniest nights, the funniest things that
really?
I've ever had. Yeah. You were supposed to go on fifth. Great lineup of comics. Fourth guy I never really heard of. I'm looking at the lineup. I go, I don't know who this guy is. I go, ladies and gentlemen, please. And this is for your shot. This is HBO. This is you. And you, Nick DiPaolo at the time, and still, you kill as hard as anybody kills. Period. Point blank. The end. And a discussion. And I'm not saying that because you're here. You and I talked a couple weeks ago during the vacation, right? You know I.
Yes.
You know I love you as a comic.
Absolutely. Okay.
So I'm like, I don't even know who Chris Fonseca is. They go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage your next comedian, Chris Fonseca. And about 8 minutes later, they finish carrying this man who had like horrible MS.
MS, yeah.
To the stage.
They carried me to the
stage. They prop him up on the stool and his opening, the crowd starts giving him a huge applause break. What's happening here? The crowd starts giving him a huge applause break because he's upright, like they carried him on stage. And I immediately start losing my shit laughing because I know you're next. This guy's getting a standing ovation because he's on a stool and not falling. And his first joke, literally, I'll never forget this, Nicholas.
My first joke?
No, Chris Fonseca, the guy that went on right before you, the guy that dashed your hopes and dreams like a skull on a rock. He said, people, I'm going to do an impression of the guy because it's important. I'm not mocking anybody. I have a special
I remember the kid being funny.
People always ask me, how long have you been handicapped? I always say, I don't know. How long have you been an asshole? And the fucking crowd. You would have thought George Carlin, Richard Pryor, wrapped themselves around Russell Brand's dick and exploded.
Exactly.
They went fucking, and that shit went on for 35 minutes.
Yes.
Supposed to 20.
And you think it's an accident they put me after this kid?
So Nick goes up next. They go, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Fonseca. Again,
going up to his applause.
They got
to
do, yes.
They carry him out.
Like, yes. They have to do underhooks, like if you're a wrestling fan, a wrestler.
Like he was wounded on MASH, and they're bringing him to triage. Yeah,
they have to carry him. No fault of his, obviously. And he had jokes.
No, he's good material.
He didn't go up there and go, hey, look at me, I'm handicapped, give me a deal.
Right.
He worked just as hard as anybody else. But the crowd was so...
over the top.
Yes. It was completely... unwarranted.
Like he had two good legs.
Like, oh my God, God bless him. Just got back from Iraq, stepped on a landmine. Look at him telling jokes. So they underhook this guy. They carry him off the stage, and I'll never forget. His feet are dragging because he can't use his feet because he's got like a walker. I think he had a walker, not a chair. So they're dragging him backwards off the stage.
And I think he's milking it. No.
What if he gets like to the bar and he goes, I think that went pretty good.
He runs out perfectly fine.
He's jumping rope like fucking Floyd Mayweather in the parking lot to get ready.
He's breakdancing on the sidewalk in front of the club. People are
throwing. Go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Nick DiPaolo. You are going on stage. He's still not all the way off the stage. Your career is over. There's nothing. HBO doesn't know who you are immediately.
Yeah.
They want to know who this guy is.
Gotta fucking find out.
You open your mouth. And you say, what's with McDonald's hiring the handicap? Is that bothering anybody else? That was the first sentence.
Not one of my best bits.
Out of your well, that night, and it wasn't, you weren't mocking him. You knew that your night and your HBO tenure was completely over.
Yeah.
So, like a good samurai, you took out your sword and you cut yourself in half.
I didn't look at it that way.
You said, how'd you look at it? Because I remember the whole... You want me to tell you the whole bit?
I'll tell you how I look at it. How am I not going to go up there and not address that, what people just saw? What am I going to go and go, hey, boy, relationships are tough, huh?
Yeah, but he doesn't work at McDonald's.
Huh?
He didn't work at McDonald's.
It's not about McDonald's.
You should have went like, hey, what's with comedy clubs hiring the handicapped?
No.
Like, that would have been tying in. You said, what's a McDonald's hiring the handicapped? The guy working the deep fryer is wearing a hockey helmet. You're hey, Gretzky.
Can I get an apple pie when you get a
cheese? My apple pie?
Yeah, that was kind of me, now that you look back on it.
The manager comes over. Hold on. I'm not done. This is ingrained. This is 15 years ago, 18 years ago.
But I'd do it tonight, you know.
Yes.
I'm not going to change.
You go, and the manager comes over, and you do an exact impression of the way Chris Fonseca walked. And you go, is there a problem? And you go, yeah, it's regarding Henry back there.
Holy shit, how do you remember that?
Because it was too brilliant for words. And I'll tell you how I remember it.
Regarding Henry. You got to explain, people, that's an old reference.
It's a movie with Harrison Ford where he has brain damage.
He's playing, he has brain damage, yes.
That's what I said, yeah. But here's why it's in my brain forever.
I love this dog.
The crowd is staring at you like you went up wearing like a swastika armband, or like you were Pol Pot. Like they were, it was icy. It was cold.
See, I don't even remember that. I must block it out like a childhood rape or something.
It was, I was watching a childhood rape.
I don't even remember like getting a cold.
However,
I got the Young Comedian special.
There's from that night?
Must have. I've only auditioned for HBO like three times in my life.
Three people in that room that night. Yeah. Are laughing so hard that the rest of the Melrose Improv are looking back. Who is fucking laughing at this?
Yeah, who was it?
Me, the friend I was with, and for some reason at my table was Elvis Costello alone. And we were fucking hitting each other.
You're kidding me.
Swear, hand to Christ.
Elvis Costello?
Was sitting at my table
and you
alone.
Didn't introduce me?
Bro, I couldn't.
I play bass, you know, motherfucker.
You play bass?
No, I'm kidding.
But that's how weird a night that was.
Elvis Costello?
We were...
You were sitting at a table with Elvis? Already you were so famous, huh?
No. I didn't know he was at the table until we were shoving each other like black people at the Apollo when they like something. So, like, we were grabbing each other's clothing. I'm not joking. We were laughing so hard. Yeah, it's regarding Henry.
You know what that is, OJ? That's not me trying to be mean or anything. That's me. I had a plan set up, and that was going to be the opening joke, and I didn't veer from it. I had no, like, plan B.
So when Chris Fonseca went up and it took him 6 minutes to get to the stool, you were like, did you think, like, oh, fuck? Or did you go, like, well, whatever?
I'm not budging. And, you know, maybe I could have made the adjustment.
You're like LaMotta. I don't get on for nobody. Hey, Ray.
No matter what I do, no matter who I fight, I'm following a cripple. No matter what I look at my hands.
Look at my hands.
I had to follow another guy in Baltimore at the New Year's Eve at the Improv in Baltimore. Another, I hope it wasn't Chris. It was another guy like that. With MS or whatever. And it was really funny. I don't know. Maybe it was, I don't think it was Chris. It was another guy. But same thing. Took him 6 minutes to get to the stage. You'd think maybe my agent or manager would clear who's opening for me.
Maybe that comic would say, you know, during the show when the MC's on, maybe you could sit me next to the stage because it takes me about 6 minutes to get to the mic.
And it took him 6 minutes to get off.
But maybe do you think that's a plan because they don't have an hour or they don't have 30 minutes? So they can eat 12 minutes getting on and off the stage.
I don't know. But when he got done and he kind of limped and dragged himself off, I go, somebody's been hitting the champagne before midnight, huh?
And I bet they all went,
No, he laughed because he was like standing, you know, I shouldn't say standing. He was kneeling by the stage and the crowd was going fucking shithouse.
They love you.
I just, I look at comedy like this. I'm going to say just what I'd say if you and I and other comics are sitting around at the table, and I'm not, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's
because that's how I got into it.
That's how we came up.
Right.
Any deficiency, and if you had a weird fucking sweater, if you had an eye patch.
Or MS.
If you had MS, we would.
A weird sweater with MS? You're like, oh my God, but fucking destroy
you. God is my witness. If we were sitting at the Comedy Cellar at the Boston Comedy Club in that back room, that back row, and we had a friend that had MS, we would destroy him. I mean, that's why I don't understand, like, comics now. You walk into a room, you go, hey, look at these fucking, and they're like, then you're on their shit list forever.
Yeah, that's because they were raised, this new age psychology that took root out here in the 60s, by the way, on the West Coast.
Go on.
Where you fucking, you know, you just, it's all about self-esteem and stroking the kid's, you know, fucking ego and telling him he's great no matter what he does and the whole get a trophy shit. And now they're comics and they're people who run Hollywood. That's what it is. The people who
used to get beat up, and they don't let that shit go, do they?
So the people that got beat up, they're running Hollywood.
They run Hollywood. Every movie.
And they sniff a bully when they come in the room. They know you probably kidney punched him in the hallway in Boston.
Which I didn't really. I was a bully to a couple kids, but I got bullied. Everybody's bullied somebody, and everybody's been bullied, in my opinion.
I was, and I...
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, so that's how I look at it. But yeah, they run the fucking... Yeah. I want to see another movie where the asshole is the jock in the letter jacket. Okay, that's been going on since 1978. Every movie, the asshole is usually the white kid in the letter jacket, the jock, right? He's bullying the fucking...
See, Nick's bits are truthful. Let me tell you this. First of all, listen to these commercials real quick.
To the runners and the lifters, the weekend warriors, the triathletes, injuries are a fact of life. And if you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, check this out. Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. You've never experienced anything like Arctic Ease before. It's cold therapy that you use while you're still active. You can run, bike, and lift while wearing Arctic Ease. Keep your joints or your muscles wrapped and cool, real cool. Arctic Ease Wraps. Well, they stay in place. They don't move around. They don't flop around or fall off. And they give you similar recovery benefits to ice therapy. Here's the coolest thing. No freezer needed. The sleek design fits comfortably with no bulky ice. They're reusable. Did you hear that? You can't reuse ice. It melts. These are reusable. Arctic Ease Instant Cold Wraps. Reusable. They're clinically tested, proven, effective. Don't put your training on ice. Get reusable Arctic Ease cold wraps at CVS Pharmacy. Get instant cooling relief when and where you need it, or visit arcticease.com. Does shaving irritate your skin? It used to always give me nicks, bumps, and razor burns, and I kept upgrading my razor. Kept doing it. Latest gimmick I was in. 3 blades, 5 blades, 22 blades. All right. I never found a razor with 22 blades, but the bottom line is it didn't make my nicks and bumps go away. You know why? It wasn't the razor. It was the gel and the foam, the shaving cream. You got to upgrade your shaving cream. Come on, man. Shaving gels and foams are mostly air. Air is not a lubricant. Cremo, C-R-E-M-O, is what I use now, and my skin is smooth as a baby's bottom. Cremo, people. Cremo. Cremo, impossibly slick, foam-free shave cream. Comes in a tube, not a can. Almost any razor will glide effortlessly and comfortably over your sensitive skin. No bumps, burn, or irritation. I switched to Cremo, C-R-E-M-O. Cremo! You want a better shave? Try upgrading your shave cream. Get Cremo at Walmart, Target, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy. Red cap, white tube. Cremo! In the past year, over $300 million were won playing fantasy sports at DraftKings.com. You could be the next to win big. DraftKings.com is America's favorite daily fantasy sports website, created by American sports fans for American sports fans. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. You can play whenever you want. You can switch out your rosters if you feel like. That's what I do. And you know what? It's not just football. It's baseball, college, pro basketball, hockey. Heck, you can even do fantasy golf if that's what floats your boat. How about this? Fantasy MMA. That's right. Draft your team in minutes. New contests every day. Look, we're all playing fantasy sports. You might as well win money. Don't wait. Join in on what hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already discovered at DraftKings.com. I want you to go to DraftKings.com right now. Enter the promo code MORE, M-O-H-R, to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winners, bigger millionaires. Enter MORE, M-O-H-R, for a free entry now. DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. Put in my last name, M-O-H-R. You're doing fantasy sports anyway. You might as well win a lot of money. DraftKings.com.
You've always really taken Hollywood.
We're back, folks. I wish I had commercials of my podcast.
We're back. The Nick DiPaolo podcast.
I wear a t-shirt and hope somebody looks in the window of my basement. Says Budweiser on.
Everybody should tweet at Nick DiPaolo and at Giada De Laurentiis at the same time that's listening to this.
I love Giada.
Just so like she looks on Twitter like, who is this guy? Because you're handsome.
I had a whole chunk on her.
Like if there was a picture of Giada and you in like Us Weekly, people wouldn't go like, who's this fucking mook? Like you're like a handsome guy. There's no like
I have
drop
my day.
Off.
I mean, I look like Steve Mariucci now, but.
You don't look like Mooch.
I have my day.
You know why? Because Mooch sometimes, he looks a little afraid sometimes. Not Nick DiPaolo.
Giada, I used to do the bit about how every, the whole show, you don't see her face. There's a knife chopping 2 inches from her tits. She's always, I'm like, why is she chopping ice cream in a bikini top? You never saw her face.
You've always taken Hollywood, except for when she says, Milanese.
That's so funny. I picked up my spaghetti.
I don't do a bit about that, but I just noticed it, and it makes us nuts.
I said, you grew up in Malibu. You're trying to think, well, she must be from fucking Naples, huh?
I like when her aunt from Italy comes over.
Oh, there's some tension there, isn't there?
They fucking argue the whole time. The aunt's like, no, you don't do it right.
I told Louis, yeah, so Louis goes to me, he goes, yeah, I watched the Food Network. He goes, and that this didn't do it. And it's funny, because I didn't know whether to put it in or not, that material either. I was like, I don't know if this is... Maybe it's just I'm a real like Food Network hound, and maybe and my wife was all for it, like you said. She goes, people, and it's true. The Food Network is like ESPN now.
Yeah,
I mean, so but Louis goes, it did nothing for me, and because I was having doubts about it originally.
Yeah,
all I needed was to hear a guy who I respect that much, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to put it in.
And he is like the best.
I'll throw it in the next one.
There you go, buddy.
I get shit about Robert Irvine, Restaurant Impossible. I got a whole chunk there.
I'm Robert Irvine. He's got some big fucking arms, that
what?
Guy.
That guy must bench
TGI Fridays.
That's what I said. You really have to be juicing to yell at a 68-year-old Mexican chef who's just trying to make a living?
I don't even know what the appetizers are in here. Where is your menu? Why is it taking so long to be seated? It's like, bro, I called you for help, not humiliation, you douche.
He's always like, we have to have this restaurant open by 5 o'clock. There's no roof on it. The chef has one arm, and the pork is filled with worms.
And then they pull it off.
And they pull it off every time.
Look, I love the Food Network. And let me
tell
you
should.
Something. Your wife is right. My wife is right. And the amount, I probably have 40 fucking minutes of new shit that my wife said, nobody's talking about Dateline. You got to hit that head on. And I go, that's like the biggest part of my last special was all Dateline, like Food Network, like Ina, like, and now, like, if I, like, people just tweet me out of nowhere, don't tell Jeffrey, just because they've seen me on stage a year ago and they're watching it and they
watching
think about
the pit.
It like, so listen to your wife next time,
leave it
or
in
or marry,
huh?
Louis. Louis got a
type.
Boat Louis
don't
got a
you
boat.
Love him. I know he came to pick me up in that boat.
What,
he came up the river? I live up in northern Westchester. He came up the Hudson. He. This is why I love Louis. The guy's got balls.
What is
brass
he, fucking
balls.
Roosevelt?
I live not far from Roosevelt. He comes up the Hudson. I'm. It's like a Sunday afternoon. I'm about to cook for some people, and he goes, "Meet me at the Ossining Docks or whatever the fucking." And I go, okay. I get my car and I go down there, and this guy's got steel balls. He's up on that high, on this huge yacht. He's at the top. He doesn't know what he's doing. He tries to pull into a spot. The ass end misses another boat by, I swear to God, 6 inches. Doesn't even know what he's doing. And then we sit on it, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. Gorgeous boat. We take pictures. Anyways, about a month and a half, month later, we Superstorm Sandy hits or whatever the fuck. So I call Louis, and I go, where's your boat? He goes, I called the marina. They said it's in a pile with like 10 other boats. And he's laughing about it.
Like shoes in a closet.
Like he lost shoes in a closet. Exactly.
Yeah, I'll get him later.
He goes, I had it insured. And he got another one.
He was on, when I was on Opie and Anthony, he was talking about his boat. And it's all he had was stories about not knowing how to work it. But I guess they're true because that's the story you had. Him and he took Chris Rock to see the Statue of Liberty at night.
Yeah.
And they saw like a fucking submarine. And it scared the shit
out of
him.
That's right. He was talking about that.
And he had to go like, I'm going to call the Coast
Guard. And he called the Coast Guard.
But
yeah.
If I call the Coast Guard, there's no unringing that bell. I'm about to call the Coast Guard in the national interest. And he called the Coast Guard. And they're like, all right, we're on our way. And he waited. And then he called the Coast Guard again. He's like, this is fucking crazy. And there was like a wake. You could just see the tip of the submarine.
Yeah.
And then the Coast Guard came and they go, are you the guy to call this in? They go, yeah. He goes, yeah. And he goes, it's a mooring ball. It hasn't moved in an hour and a half, and it won't move in a couple days. It's a mooring ball. It's anchored to the bottom.
I thought it was a real thing, you know?
No, it was a big mooring ball that you tie your boat to it. But because of the tide of the Hudson River, it looked like it had a wake. But like to not realize, like, I've been here 2 hours watching a submarine do 40 miles an hour and not move.
He got stuck in the mud, you know, that whole thing, right? Up in Harlem.
Oh, that's the best.
And the tide went out, so they were stuck in the mud like 10 hours. His kids,
hey, that's my man right there.
And they're yelling, is that the funniest thing? That's why I love him, though. He's got balls of... I'm too vain to, like, try to park a boat for the first time while people are watching and shit. I'm such a puss. Although I stole my old man's boat when I was a kid. And how about this? That's a true story.
Tell me. Where'd you live that you have boats?
I lived in North Shore, Massachusetts.
No, sir.
Yes, sir. Oh, sure. And my old man goes, it's a Saturday night, him and my mother going out to eat like they always do, another couple. My father goes, don't touch the boat. It was only like a 16, 17-foot fiberglass boat, but we had 150 Black Max Mercury engine on it. Thing did like 58 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's a light boat.
Yeah, they had to reinforce the transom on the back with steel so it wouldn't break them. So he goes, don't touch the boat. As soon as they leave, I call my girlfriend. Hey, you want to go out on a beautiful night, summer night? We're going out of the Danvers River through the Beverly River. And then there's a bridge. I see this bridge open. This big, huge boat had to go through. And they have to open the bridge because the thing's too tall for the big boat to get. So they open the bridge and there's traffic on the bridge, you know. So I go through it. And we go out, me and the girlfriend have a few beers, whatever. And then the next day, Sunday morning, we're having dinner. My father goes, how'd you enjoy the boat last night? And I couldn't even keep a straight face. He said it. It scared the living shit. You know, your old man could look you in the eye and just scare the shit out of you. I just started smirking. I go, I didn't touch the boat. And I started giggling. I'm like, how the fuck did he know that? My parents were on the bridge in the car while the bridge was up and saw me going through. What are the odds of that? That's why I could never be a criminal, Jay. That's why I could never, I could steal a pack of gum and be an FBI guy in the store. What are the odds your parents were on the friggin' bridge?
It looks like Nicholas.
And I'm all cocky, you know? I'm like Quentin Jaws.
You're probably like sitting on a phone book so everybody can see you. Extra tall.
Unbelievable.
Oh.
They're on the bridge in the car, and I get busted.
When I was a kid, in the Barnegat Bay in New Jersey, my grandfather had a boat, and they'd take us out all the time. Like, that's all you did. You go out in the boat. You'd be there all day. Like, now you're like, probably an hour, because I only got number 8 sunscreen. Like, back then, you'd leave like 8 in the morning. You come back at dark.
That's right.
All fucking day.
Yeah.
Fishing for bluefish, crabbing. Hey,
nothing
lunch.
On, no sunscreen.
You go visit somebody. There's a sandbar. Let's go swim. And then you come back. But, like, everybody was drinking. Everybody was hammered. Like, now
of
it's
course.
All water safety. I remember, like, my uncles. One guy would have my arms. The other guy would have my feet. I'd be, like, 7, 8 years old, and they'd swing me. Like, they were going to throw me in the ocean. They go, on 3, 1,
yes.
2. But it never dawned on me that they were not going to do it.
It's scaring the shit out of you.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, now you do it to your kid, and your kid goes, wah! And you go, like, bro, you know what? That was awful. I'm sorry, buddy.
Don't say that to your kid.
You saw my kid. He's bigger than me.
That kid, let me tell you, that kid,
little
there's nothing
Mackie.
Politically correct. What's his name?
Meredith Daniel, named after my father-in-law. We call him Mackie.
Yeah, you should. I don't like Meredith. It's a chick's
name.
Well,
why don't you tell my level 5 CIA classified of rocket scientist father-in-law you don't like
his name? Like I said, it's a good name.
Because he's watching
what
you
is
jerk
this, meet
off
the parents?
Computer.
That kid, I love your fucking son.
He's a good kid. He's 3.
Well, that's because both his parents were in show, but he's already a ham. That kid is, how old is he? He's 3?
He's
I thought
huge.
He was 13.
No, he's like the size of JJ
Watt. He weighs like 140.
Yeah.
What are you feeding him? Heavy cream?
Mexicans.
And donuts?
We Mexicans come over to the house and we chop him up.
He's doing a Tracy Morgan impression.
Yeah, I go, show him your Tracy.
And it's like a good one.
The baby lifts up his shirt and goes, yeah, I enjoy my sippy cup.
You got to get him into football. Don't give him the soccer ball. Don't listen to that.
No, football. I took him to a Palisades High football team.
Please
game.
Do, Jay.
Now, you're going to like this story. I never told him anything about football, ever.
He's just attracted to it.
And here's the thing. There's a kid's book called Smash Crash, where it's 2 tow trucks. They go and they just wreck shit for fun. And
they allow that today?
In the book. And it's like Smash Crash. And then they got to clean it up with their bodies, right? I go, let's go to Pally High. You know, I think there's a football game, Mackie. And he goes, nah. I go, no, you like football. It's Smash Crash, but with people. And he goes, let's go.
Wow, that's good fathering right there.
We go to Pally High. It's a couple blocks away, right? Football
that's
game.
That's Palisades for you people who aren't from the area.
Palisades High School. Forrest Whitaker.
Is that where he's from?
Yeah.
Overrated. Go ahead.
You're out of your fucking mind.
I'm kidding. He's a great actor.
I'm kidding. Do an impression for Forrest Whitaker. Yeah, make believe. Well, one of my eyes half open. You know, I did a movie with Forrest Whitaker, Street Kings.
You've done a lot of movies.
Keanu Reeves, me, and Forrest Whitaker.
Keanu Reeves.
We're standing in a line.
I don't know who's better.
We're standing in a line. It's Keanu, me, and Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah.
And on set, I thought to myself, this might be like the acting chart.
What was the order again?
It was Keanu. What do you fucking think, you asshole?
What?
Keanu Reeves was first.
Right.
And then it was me. Right. And then it was Forrest Whitaker. He just won the Oscar for Last King of Scotland. I go, this might be like the actual acting chart. Like the evolution. Keanu's the best. Good kid. And hot. I'm staring at his lips between takes going, this kid's fucking beautiful. Action. Wait, what? What's happening? He took me out of my game. And I'm not joking. So take the kid to Palisades High School. Kid takes a handoff off left tackle, 88 yards, ooh, takes it to the house. Some kid from Palisades High School. The place is going batshit. It's huge.
I love this place.
Holds like 10,000 people, this little stadium. Carl Lewis track over there, whatever.
And how many do they get? 1,500 on a Friday night?
No, it was packed. It's like Friday Night Lights over here because they bust everybody
in. Is that right?
Oh, it was Fairfax High. It was
cool.
It was great. So the place is going crazy, and my son knows, yeah, like I teach him to cheer and how to boo and all that shit.
And don't teach him to cheer.
I go, Mackie, do you want to play football? He goes, yes. I go, do you want to run the football like that guy did for and score a touchdown? And everybody cheers, and he goes, no. And I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? I go, why not? He goes, I'm going to tackle that guy, and I'm going to tackle him, and then I'm going to tackle that guy. And the whole walk home, he's pointing like fucking trash cans and cars. He goes, I'm going to tackle that trash can.
You know what you got on your hand, though? You got a lot.
J.J. Watt.
I was going to say.
A fucking defensive end named Meredith. You know how much fucking money that kid's going to make? He got a lot of money off a white fighter, let's be honest. You know what his nickname's going to be?
What was John Wayne's real name? Marion. Right?
Marion.
Yeah.
He's very southern. You know what? I already got a nickname for the kid.
Crash.
Trash truck.
Trash truck?
Trash truck.
I like that.
Here he comes.
T.T.
He's going to be the white Warren Sapp.
T.T. Moore.
Trash truck.
That's a. He looks. I'm not kidding you. That
he's on my Instagram, Jay Moore Sports. He is the world's strongest toddler.
He looks like a tough little. He's going to be a bully. I can tell.
No, he won't. He's kind. He won't be a bully.
Oh, you got to teach him to be a bully.
Well, what were we talking about?
I'm just saying. We were talking about your kid who was attracted to a male cheerleader at the high school. You said. Wasn't it?
Yes. I took him to Disney World, actually, in Florida. And he wouldn't say he was afraid of Mickey Mouse. Like five times I take this kid to fucking Disneyland or Disney World, one or the other. And every time he goes, I want to say hi to Mickey. And then right when he gets up to Mickey, he starts freaking out, crying. And then he should.
He's like it's a 20-foot rat to him.
Yes. But then he hugs Cinderella till he got uncomfortable.
I don't like that. That makes me uncomfortable that he's hugging Cinderella and he's scared of a rat. You better straighten him out.
Get him to the doctor. The other way around? Let me hug the rat.
Huh? I don't want him to be hugging Cinderella. Oh, I see what you're saying. He doesn't want to bang her, though. He's hugging her like in a motherly way.
No, there was nothing motherly about that.
No?
It was a little weird.
What did he do, bury his little face in her?
He tried.
Cinderella crotch?
Oh, crotch, no. We got a clip. We're going to play the right clip. Roadside memorials. You want me to put the mic up against it?
This is about those fake memorials. I shouldn't say fake, but people put up those memorials when somebody gets killed.
I appreciate you working me in, being the 8th podcast you've done this week.
Funerals on TV. I hate public grieving. Good example of that is those makeshift roadside memorials. Do you guys have those out here? Dude, that's the most tacky fucking thing to me. If I die on the highway and the best my friends can do is make a cross out of two old street hockey sticks, tie a 12-cent balloon to it. Oh, thanks for the effort, shitheads. I mean, there's always that stuffed animal covered in bird shit. A teddy bear in the rain. Oh, that's going to cheer up the DiPaolo family, huh? I just don't fucking understand these. Things are getting pretty elaborate, too. I saw one near my house on the Sawmill Park. It was a piñata hanging out of a maple tree. Apparently a van full of illegals tipped over on that corner. Do you ever see anybody... Do you ever see anybody building these memorials? I don't. What, a little fucking ninjas run out at 3 in the morning with plywood and a nail gun and fucking welder's mask? And they're really creative. They can make a cross out of anything. I don't remember reading the Bible of Jesus being nailed to PVC pipe, you know? Do you ever see one that's like 60 yards off the road? You're like, how the fuck did he get killed over there? Did you either chase a deer into the woods in your Cadillac, you asshole? If my friends build me one of those memorials, it better represent the shit that I loved and that I hated. First of all, the cross should be about 15 high, made of pizza crust with a pair of fake tits on top and a picture of Oprah with a knife in her forehead. My liberal friends would be like, well, he's kind of a right winger. Should we light this on fire? Go ahead. I like a burnt crust. Fuck it.
What do you want me to do? But you want to pick up your... First of all, you're not holding a microphone.
Oh, geez, it's been a long day, Jay. I slept 2 hours last night.
So whose fault is that? Your prostates?
It's the couple next door.
Oh, I got to ask you this. You were Mitch Hedberg's next door neighbor, right?
Yeah.
So... do you know the story about your name on a set list?
Of course I know the story. Didn't the I tell you about it?
Will you tell the listeners, please?
Yeah, I already told it on a few others. Yeah, I moved into, I was in West Hollywood, Sierra Bonita, some little shitty building.
The one I went to.
What?
The one I went to that night.
I don't know what you're talking about, but okay.
I was never at your apartment?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Were you?
I was one day.
At Sierra Bonita?
I was at an apartment that you lived in. Do you remember that?
That's right. You were bringing me marijuana?
Probably.
So, so the superintendent goes, you're a stand-up comedian. Well, there's a stand-up comedian living in the apartment next to you. And this is before anybody knew Mitch, I guess. So I didn't know him either. And I go, okay. And a couple nights later, I hear a guitar, and I'm thinking, this guy must be a real hack, you know? And then like a month later, I see him on Letterman. And I go, oh, my God, this guy's hilarious.
Did you know it was your neighbor?
I didn't. Yeah, at that point. I didn't know. But he used to have people come over and they play, him and his girlfriend play like folk guitar and shit. And we used to get too loud. I'm trying to watch TV. So I'd bang on the wall.
Reality TV with your hand on your pants.
Yes, exactly. And I'd bang on the wall. And I'm in New York one time, and Zoe Friedman comes up because Mitch was going to do Letterman. This is a few years later, and says, she goes to me, you know, he does a bit about you. She had his napkin with a set list on it, and the second joke was DePaulo, it said.
What was the joke?
And the joke was, yeah, he used to play. He goes, I like to play my music loud, and my neighbor would bang on the door.
No, on the wall.
On the wall, excuse me. And he used to go. And I used to say to him, come around.
You got to go around.
You got to go around. I do not have a doorknob on this side of the... Whatever. It was one of those classic...
There is no door in the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to come in, you must come around.
You must come around. Exactly. And that was the bit.
Then when he did Letterman,
and
joke number two, it just said Nick DePaulo.
On the set list on the napkin, Zoe showed me. It said,
that's amazing.
It said DePaulo on it. And I loved him. And I felt so bad, you know. I remember I bought him like a case of Heineken and put it in front of his door.
As an apology?
Yeah.
Or to help your career?
But, you know, he's so laid back, he didn't care. And, that's my Mitch Hedberg story.
You've never, like, you've always taken TV on head first. I was going to say this earlier, but, like, I remember, like, 1991, I can remember you at the Boston Comedy Club doing jokes about how they fake integrate sitcoms. It's always like eight white friends, but they always have like the one black friend.
Well, yeah, the commercial.
You're always like, oh, it's totally normal, right? Sure.
Yeah, the commercial. I go, aren't there? I can't even remember the bit, but aren't there four white guys watching a ball game drinking Budweiser, or even four black guys without a dorky white friend? You know what I mean?
They always got to mix one in.
And I said, well, it always you got to have the black guy, the white guy. I said, the Indian in a full headdress. There's an Eskimo next to him. There's a guy on a donkey with a sombrero. And, you know, because that's what, apparently that's what the world looks like. And then people always go, well, they're just trying to reach everybody. And that. Oh, really? So that's going to, really? That's what's going to do it?
You know, I wasn't going to drink Budweiser, but since that guy's wearing the same headdress as me.
Exactly. Is that fucking, I go, no, it's about them not wanting to kill each other. That's how they keep us.
Do you remember the punchline?
It's a weird theory, but...
Do you remember the punchline about the four white guys and the one black friend?
I go, if you see a white guy hanging out with a four black guy, I go, something about him, yeah, at the end of the night, he's unconscious in the street, missing his sneakers.
With a brick in the back of his head.
Something like that. How do you remember the worst shit?
What do you mean the worst?
I've come around.
These are things that have made me laugh. You know, if you hear a song, you love it. You know the words, if Born to Run comes on the radio...
That's
and
true.
And you sing along. Your wife doesn't go, how the fuck do you know the words to this?
That's right.
Like, I love comedy. It's music to me, man.
I'm the same way. When I listen to Raw Dog, there's certain guys that come on, and I'll turn it up like it's a Stones, a Skinner.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Especially if they're doing it like a Skinner or Stones bit.
Like Judy Tenuta, and I'll shut it right the fuck off.
Yeah. Is she still doing stand-up?
Only if it's under a chandelier and a gown. The fuck told her she was funny.
Oh, pigs. There were a lot of people in the 80s, I think, got free passes.
My husband loves pancakes.
A lot of free passes got handed out in the 80s. Would you agree?
Yeah, all in the name of affirmative action. Anyways.
What's affirmative about a white lady with an accordion?
That's a feminist thing. Is not a guy funny than Judy Tenuta that deserve that spot?
Oh, I'm agreeing with
that
you.
That dog is so cute. Because I have a Yorkshire Terrier, too.
She's on my Instagram.
That dog is... I want to put garlic and lemon on it and just bake that motherfucker tonight.
I love that dog so much that I want to squeeze it until it fucking...
How tired you are, you poor bastard.
I want to squeeze the dog until she shits out an exact replica of herself, and then I want to fucking strangle the other one to death.
That's called, you know what, cloning.
Yeah, I want to squeeze her, like cuddle, until she shits out another little 2.5-pound Yorkie, and then I'm going to take the clone and squeeze it till I fucking kill her.
Jay, that's horrible. The PETA people are going to be picketing in front of your picket fence out there.
You know
Look
what?
Look at this place.
I'll throw steak at them.
What is this? Father knows best?
What?
Father knows best?
You know what I'm doing with PETA shows up? I'm going to put, you know, like in Panama, we played fucking music to get Noriega to surrender. We just bombarded him with heavy metal. I'm going to play Sarah McLachlan songs to PETA when they come to my house. In the island.
She's another one.
How about her? She wants you to adopt a dog with like one eye and mustard coming out of its ears. In the commercial, she has like a $3,000 fucking golden retriever in her lap. Like you get the pedigree and I got to take fucking Sammy Davis Jr. over your hands.
Yeah. The dog with two legs. And
Oh, isn't that the best though when you see a dog with two legs and he's got the little chair behind him?
Yeah, They bolt in a, what do you call it, a dolly?
Yeah,
the thing you stack a case of Coke on at a party to roll into the garage. They fucking weld that to his hips and they let the dog. Ever see a dog with a flat? Well, they put tires on the dog with no legs. I saw him pulled over on the side of the road. It was a Labrador Retriever. It had a flat.
And that dog gets to the stage faster.
And I come on right after the dog, and I go, hey, I thought this was stand-up comedy. I actually said that, too, after somebody quit putting people on with afflictions in front of me, and I'll be nice.
Another senseless killing. Nick DiPaolo, you can order it on his website, Nick Dip, N-I-C-K-D-I-P, nickdip.com.
Yeah.
Nick has always been one of my favorite comics, rapist/match.com.
He really is losing his voice.
Super Dave Osborne. This is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to round third with this podcast. What was the little Japanese guy you hung out with?
Who, Super Dave? I forget.
He was like, Mr. Fuji's going to let the tiger eat him. Nick DiPaolo, I hope you had a good time.
Jay, I had a great time, and I appreciate you doing this in your garage. It's worth 11 degrees in here. I can see my breath.
You know what? Typical male. Complaining all the time.
No, you're close to the ocean.
I am close to the ocean.
What a house, folks. You should see Jay's house. He must be selling Coke to kids during the day.
You know, it's Gary Unmarried money. Never buy a house when you're on a sitcom.
Gary Unmarried.
The sitcom gets canceled and the house goes into syndication. This thing's a fucking album. You want to buy it?
What, are you kidding me?
I'm only paying 20% of it. I'm paying 80% to the bank still.
Yeah, I'll take this note off your hand with my residuals from True TV, World's Dumbest Criminals residuals.
What did you play?
11 cents.
Guy hiding under a baby pool.
No, I played comic commenting on clips. People still bust my balls about it.
Why? It's a fun gig.
It's so funny. When they ask me to do that, I go, I don't want to be on the credits or on your website. I'll take the money. I'll do the things. Because I thought it was stupid. I hate shows like that. That show was the most popular thing on TV. No, I'm at the airport. People used to go, oh, I know you from comedies. I know you from Louis C.K. Now they go, I know you from World's Dumbest Fucking Cats.
World's Dumbest.
That's what people recognize me from. I go, I really have to get back
up
there.
Where is Barry Katz on that show? I can't believe I took fifth again, man. Nick, you're going on fifth. You're following a guy named Chris Fonseca.
He probably, you know what?
Chris, he's special.
Barry probably got me that slot. He was probably my manager
Barry's
at that time.
Man, Barry works hard.
Hey, you know what you should play too? The other clip.
How many clips am I playing
just
of your
two.
Special?
How many did I
We're
say?
We're going to do roadside memorials.
Do roadside
you
memorials.
Said I should play
and play Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
About him getting throat cancer.
Oh, Jesus. From eating box.
Yeah.
That guy ate so much box.
Yeah. It's killer.
Why don't you just say it to me now like a human being instead of us playing fucking clips like I'm Casey Kasem?
What do you mean?
Dead.
What are you talking about?
Why don't you just tell me about Michael Douglas right now?
No. I want you to play the bit.
But what?
Drop it in a post.
You
want me to set it up, you mean, right now?
Just tell me.
Hey, do you ever get throat cancer from eating pussy?
Sounds like it.
Well, right at the beginning when you said your throat hurt, I was going to work it in.
Well, God forbid.
Yeah, the roadside memorial thing. Can we kill this? The roadside memorial thing.
Wait, you want to turn off the mics now?
Well, no, I'm just saying when you play the roadside memorial, but yeah, you should wait, I guess, till you get to the...
No, we're going to set it up. You're going to work it out with Corey. You're going to time
Cody. All right.
And now I'm going to go gargle with cum.
Yeah, you should.
Holy shit.
I got to be honest with you. I thought you were bullshitting. I go, Jay's trying to fucking give me the high five here with a fake voice. But you aren't kidding.
No.
So
but I needed you on this
I
podcast
apologize.
Because I only have people on I give a shit about. If I don't give a shit about them, I don't care.
How about me? I'm out here fucking with my Ford Fusion rent the car, and I'm using the Waze app to find my way around LA.
Yeah, Nick DiPaolo pulled up and goes, can I use your phone charger? And I go, yeah, come on in. I hand him the iPhone 5 charger. He goes, that's not going to work for me.
I went to Palisades
Pizza. You have a hot water heater I can hook my phone up to?
Is that Yorkshire Terry's legs feel strong tonight? We're going to have it run on a wheel so I can get some bars.
She's got a bad wheel.
I went to...
Back left one. She's got a bad
look
hammy.
Look at the face on that thing.
Kirk
I could
Fox
swallow
that
little fur ball. I went to Palisades Pizza down the street, and I'll give them a plug. And the guy was nice enough to let me... recharges my phone for a few minutes. How about the fact that you get commercials on your podcast? Every podcast I've done, you guys have commercials. I had like three live reads about a month ago.
Well, that's kind of how it works, Nick. I didn't know you had a podcast.
I have a great podcast.
What's it called?
It's in the top 100.
It's
called the Nick DiPaolo Podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. It's on riotcast.com and iTunes and Stitcher. But
yeah.
Go to riotcast.com or go to nickdip.com while you're buying my new killer special
for $8.
For $8.
I'm telling you guys, if Nick DiPaolo is playing anywhere in your town, you got to go.
Please come out.
Like he's the he'll. It's crazy making how funny.
He is. Get your girlfriend's tickets to Annie that night. The black version, of course, not the white.
With Jamie Foxx.
Yes, we have to overturn everything.
Well, that was another thing. My wife had a big game. The Wizification. She calls it the Wizification.
The Wizific-
movies because the Wiz was the first one.
That's right.
She goes, why not just remake, I said it to Brooks Whelan, let's just do fucking black Annie Hall.
Yeah.
You were Granny Hall would call a real black. Just to redo Ordinary People, Goodfellas. Just remake every movie with Tyler Perry and Madea.
There's a pork roast behind the refrigerator. How am I going to catch it? What am I going to put a...
That was the song. I can't. I'm going to get in trouble for being racist. Because now I'm under the corporate clock with the radio show.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
But you don't have to be. Go.
I just did it. That's all I got.
The pork
it's
roast.
Been a long day.
That was your big racist launch, a pork roast instead of a lobster?
It's a pork roast behind the fridge. How do you want me to get it out of there?
I don't mean to be, gangster, all right? have any swag effect in the evening, but
this guy can do anybody.
Who else? Who do you need? Who do you need me to do to make your day happy?
Christopher Walken.
Of course. Yeah. But with my voice, the way it is, sounds like I've been shouting. I can't do it.
No, you can't.
You had a 3-year-old do Tracy Morgan to you on the sidewalk.
I love that kid. He looks like a bruiser, as they say.
He is a tank.
Please put a helmet on. Don't let the wife push him into soccer.
No. She knows. She knows he's going to do football. I was wrestling.
Where's Nikki from?
Santa Monica, down the street.
Oh, she grew up here?
Yeah.
I thought she was like a...
She's fucking so hot. Jesus Christ.
She's a savant?
She's so hot.
I thought you said a savant.
She's a savant as well. Here's the thing. I'm wrestling with my son on the couch.
Yeah.
And I wrestled. That's my passion.
Yeah.
And we're wrestling. What 3-year-old says this? I'm wrestling with him. We're goofing off. I'm tickling and wrestling. And I go, hey, time out, Mackie. And he looks at me. I go, when you get older, daddy wrestled. when you get older, I can make you a champion. And he stops what he's doing. He goes, teach me to wrestle. Like, he got fucking serious.
Did he really?
Yeah, like, I'm
only one 3-year-old I know who would say that, who did say that.
Who? Dan Gable? Or Cal Sanderson?
No, Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking?
Yeah.
Teach me to wrestle. Did he type it in?
That was a good movie.
Wait, Stephen Hawking? You know he cheated on his wife.
I know.
With his nurse.
I know. I
like
saw the movie.
Anybody out there that I didn't see the movie, but I know it is fact because I'm obsessed with the fact that people are like, oh, there's no man out there for me. There's no woman out there for me. This guy is in a wheelchair, yeah, paralyzed from like his eyeballs down.
Yeah.
And he's not even in the chair correctly. It looks like somebody like put him away too quick.
That's true. What's this?
It's like, quick.
What's this?
Put the fucking Steven in the chair. My parents are coming home, right?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
And he found somebody to roll him down the aisle and marry him.
Yeah, and he cheats. Well, was it cheating?
And one day, his nurse is giving him the bath, and he's got to talk through the machine. Yeah. And you just hear, suck it. And then he can make you go like, LOL. Like, if she's not into it. You'd be like, well, I'm a brilliant man. I have a sense of LOL, LOL.
I'm the wife, though. If I'm his wife and that happens, I would just fucking open the front door or the back door, wherever the built-in pool is, and head him right towards it.
Roll Stephen Hawking towards the pool?
Make that fucking hole in your throat like the top of a fucking dolphin's. See how much... What the fuck? Like...
Right now, Jim Zerbigo is sending flowers to Podcast One.
So you make money doing this?
No. Nick DiPaolo, Another Senseless Killing. We'll play some tracks. And, you know, usually we play a song.
When are you going to play it? When's this going to air or be posted?
I'll put it on Monday. We'll put it on Monday.
Could you?
Lump it in with all the 19 other podcasts you did.
No, because they're not on Monday.
No, but somebody on Twitter had to go, hey, since you're doing all these other podcasts.
Nobody told him.
You
no,
should
that was
do
my
Jay's.
Idea to do you.
Oh, really?
Of course.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I got my voice back. I brought the bass.
Thank you, Peter Brady. I went on iTunes.
Huh?
And, you know, and I looked at it. I go, who are the guys that I like and that can help me out? I'm not going to do.
Well,
and yours is always in the top 30.
Nick DiPaolo, Another Senseless Killing. And again, nickdip.com.
I got a podcast.
It's the Nick DiPaolo podcast. But listen, this is what I'm going to say. You usually, after every episode, we play a song. I'll pick like a weird song for a guy. Not weird, just something like for the mood. Yeah. Instead of a song, we're going to play you 3 tracks off of Nick's album.
That's awesome.
2 tracks, not too many, because I don't want him to get it for free. 2 tracks off Nick's album. That's what you're going to get.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Brother, I love you.
Jay, you
are
like the best.
I like your Chevy Cruze you got out there.
It's a Fusion. It's actually a pretty nice car. I'll never buy American. I bought a Delta, Olds Delta. What's it called? An Olds, Delta 88 when I first got out of college. The thing fell apart quicker than a 12-year-old girl on the witness stand after a rape case.
Nick DiPaolo, ladies and gentlemen. Put your name on it.
You got to respect a vagina. You really do. I mean... The Michael Douglas story this summer? Anybody? Fellas, did that one burn up? Yeah, is that in your memory for the rest of your life? Relax, sir. I don't need it. It's a rhetorical question. Relax. Up again. Terrible. It's terrible. It was. It scared the shit out of me. For some of you who forgot, you know, he said he got throat cancer performing oral sex on a woman with HPV, which is, that's nice, huh? You get throat cancer from performing cunnilingus, fellas? Nice to know. You go down on your woman for 10 minutes, it's the equivalent of handling asbestos for 35 years. I just kissed my wife down there. I get mesothelioma. My wife's like, how come you don't do that to me anymore? I'm like, because I don't want to sound like Jack Klugman the rest of my goddamn life. I mean, I loved that story when it came out, because I'm a smoker. I stand on the sidewalk in New York, people always come up to you, oh, that shit will give you throat cancer. And now I have a comeback. I'm like, yeah, so will cunnilingus. I'll quit when you do, you know. Although if I had to choose between cigarettes and a vagina, I'm taking the vagina. I'm taking the camel toes over the camel lights. You know what I'm saying? I used to smoke cigarettes after I ate pussy. I'm a dead man walking, apparently. These menthol, good. You're gonna freshen up. Let's be honest, huh? Cigarettes and pussy have a lot in common when you think about it, right? They both give you bad breath. They both give you throat cancer. And if you don't dispose of them properly, they'll burn down your house. That's a lot of power to give a woman. You can give a guy cancer that you don't like. He's like slowly going, yeah, go ahead down there, Timmy. Enjoy yourself for the next 20 minutes. Go ahead. Chomp away. You're killing a guy. I mean, we give you a little, you know, virus. You piss, it burns a little bit. You take our voice box? What the fuck is going on? Throat cancer from oral sex in a woman. I can't wait to see those PSA commercials during the Yankees games in a couple of years.
Hello, I'm Derek Jeter. Kids, I never touched tobacco. But I ate a lot of pussy. I was a shortstop for the Yankees, for Christ's sake. I'm good looking, it was coming at me like apple pie and ice cream. And I ate every bit of it, and I'd do it again. Now I sound like my idol, Babe Ruth.
They're going to be bringing all the famous guys for those commercials.
Hello, I'm Mick Jagger. I wonder why it didn't all taste like brown sugar. Hello, I'm Ellen DeGeneres. I ate more pussy than those guys combined, really.
Thank you, Minneapolis. My favorite. You know, guys, you can just call old girlfriends.
Hey, Janice? Yeah, it's Mick. The last time you had a fucking checkup.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.